Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Assistant Garda Commissioner Angela Willis will meet the Dublin City Council Joint Policing Committee this evening. Policing in the capital is set to dominate the agenda following the assault on a 57-year-old US tourist in Dublin City Centre last Wednesday. Stephen Termini was attacked on Dublin Store Street and remains in intensive care at Beaumont Hospital. Yesterday, a 14-year-old boy was charged with assault causing harm. The attack has resulted in a sharp focus on Justice Minister Helen McEntee and the government. And for more on this, I'm joined now by Pat Behe, political editor of the Irish Times. Good morning, Pat. You would think that law and order would be an area where Fine Gael would be very comfortable, but they're not looking too comfortable right now, are they?
No, they're not. And it's important to Fine Gael voters, Fine Gael members and Fine Gael backbenchers who view themselves, it's part of their, I suppose, their sense of themselves as the party of law and order. And that's why there's an extra political spice, I think, to when a Fine Gael Minister for Justice comes under pressure on policing, as clearly Helen McEntee and her other ministerial colleagues are now. I mean, I suppose Fine Gael is maybe fortunate in that the Dáil is not in session, so she doesn't have to answer questions in the Dáil about this type of thing. But there is a, you know, a pretty firm political focus on it, I think, and will remain so for the rest of this week at least.
Was the photo opportunity with herself and Pascal Donoghue walking around the city centre well advised?
I'm not sure it was, to be honest. Now, you can understand the reasons for it. She wants to be seen as being on the ground and, you know, being hands-on in terms of a response to it. But there was a lot of adverse commentary about it over the weekend. I saw Brendan O'Connor in the Sunday Independent saying, commenting on her assertion that, you know, she felt safe walking around Dublin, that, you know, you'd have to say you would feel safe walking around the centre of Dublin accompanied by Gardaí in broad daylight. But of course, that's not the way most people walk around the centre of Dublin. I think what we'll see is, and, you know, we're beginning to see this already, I'm sure it will dominate the meeting this evening that you referred to between local politicians and the Garda top brass. You will see, you know, demands and presumably commitments to more Gardaí on the beat, more Gardaí, a more visible Garda presence on the street. Again, writing yesterday, Alan English, the editor of the Sunday Independent, said that he had, you know, in his office, of course, is on Talbot Street. He said he'd come out and he spotted six Gardaí on patrol on Talbot Street, and he said that was six more than he had ever seen there in 3 or 4 years going to that office. So I expect that's where the focus will be for the foreseeable future.
Yes, Gardaí, Garda representative organisations, opposition and government are all trading backwards and forwards the same numbers and coming to different conclusions about them. Are you able to paint a picture of how strong Garda numbers are or how weak they are?
I mean, what you would say is that there's been a bit of a... the numbers are difficult to track, Philip, because, of course, they go up and down in accordance with new recruits coming in and retirements every at the end of every month. So basically, you're at about 14,000 Gardaí at the moment. As the Lord Mayor Dublin was making the point this morning, that in the North Inner City division, they're a little bit lower than they had been at the beginning of this year. So I think what is more germane really to this discussion is, rather than getting tied down in the numbers of Gardaí that are on the books, it's how those resources are deployed. And I think what a lot of people would like to see, and certainly we would hear this from the politicians, but you also hear it from traders in the city centre, is that they want to see more Gardaí on the beat. They want to be reassured by the sight of Gardaí on the patrolling on the street. And I think that there will be a significant ask. I would be surprised if it's not from back channels from government, although government will always say operational matters are a matter for the Gardaí to work out themselves. But I certainly think that politicians will want to see more Gardaí on the streets. And that essentially is a matter for Garda Gardaí at local level.
Pat, what is notably absent from this conversation is any suggestion that anything other than the numbers of Gardaí on the street is the solution to this problem. Is there anybody looking at the wider social context of this in Leinster House?
Look, they talk about it all the time, but it's hard to see any sort of a strategy directed at urban street crime. And there are various initiatives taking place, some of which appear to have lapsed. One that I've written about on a number of occasions is the Northeast Inner City Partnership, but that's a much broader social initiative, and it doesn't focus especially, although law enforcement and relations with the Gardaí between the Gardaí and the community are very important part of it. It's not a crime reduction or policing initiative per se. I think, though, like when you think about this thing, the fear of crime is linked to crime, but it's not a straightforward relationship. And often you can find instances where actual recorded crime might be going down, but that the fear of crime amongst people remains high or is increasing. And that tends to be dominated by individual high profile crimes, such as the one that we saw last week. And so, you know, you can have strategies to reduce street crime. You can put more Gardaí in the streets and so forth. But individual crimes then tend to have a disproportionate effect, particularly when they involve, you know, horrible life-threatening or life-altering injuries of the type that we've seen in recent weeks.
Is there a sense in which the government is quite lucky that the Dáil is not sitting right now? Do you think that this would be generating an awful lot more political heat if it were?
I'm sorry, Philip, could you repeat that? You just dropped out on me.
Are we lucky, or are the government lucky, rather, that the Dáil isn't sitting at the moment?
They are, yeah. I think that, you know, reduces the heat. On the other hand, you go into the summer, and as you'll have seen, I suppose, in Montrose in recent weeks, there's always the possibility for one story to get to disproportionately dominate the political agenda. And I think it would be a problem for the Gardaí, or for the government and for the Minister for Justice, if that happened with the issue of street crime and safety on the streets throughout August. If it becomes the issue that that dominates, that could make things quite sticky. But to answer your question, they are lucky, because you would certainly have uproar in the Dáil, and that would generate its own political momentum were the Dáil to be sitting at the moment.
Which would probably expose tensions within the coalition, excuse me, if we were actually still in session at the moment. Are you aware of whether the three parties are moving in lockstep or not?
I think there was no cabinet last week. It's the last cabinet before the August break this week. I would be surprised if there isn't some discussions, only if even on the margins of cabinet this week about it. And I think, you know, certainly Helen McEntee will want to be seen to be proactive in talking to the Gardaí, talking about getting more Gardaí in the streets and so forth. There is, of course, always a tendency in coalition governments for backbenchers of one party to snipe a little bit at the failures of ministers of the other party. And I know you'd be disappointed in my colleagues in the political correspondence if we weren't to find some Fianna Fáil backbenchers willing to give out, even off the record, about Helen McEntee. And again, I suppose that's a political danger for the coalition. If this issue becomes the one that is the go-to default for political stories throughout August, then that only heightens the political pressure, I think.
Pat Leahy from the Irish Times, thank you very much. Coming up after the break, the amazing story of the Australian man rescued after nearly 3 months at sea.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.